Hallo. Ja, ladies and gentlemen, dear colleagues, welcome to the session about search indexing and retrieval. My name is Dirk Pieper from University Library here in Bielefeld. I'm the project manager of our search engine base here in Bielefeld, so I guess I have a little bit to do with the search indexing and retrieval. As Silbert Norda pointed out yesterday in his keynote speech about European universities and open access, one core aspect of open access is to show the world the scientific output of an institution or even of a country. And core aspect is to be visible, to be found in the internet, to get cited, to be part of a network. And this has a lot to do with search indexing and retrieval in the internet. Therefore, one aspect of upgrading the e-library has to be progress in the field of search indexing and retrieval. And in this session, we try to explore some aspects which hopefully will improve search indexing and retrieval in the future. It's my pleasure, therefore, to introduce the first presentation about automatic enrichment of metadata. It's my pleasure to introduce Dr. Alexander Mehler here in Bielefeld. He studied computational linguistics and economics, holds a PhD in computational and quantitative linguistics. I met him here in Bielefeld when he was assistant professor for text technology at Bielefeld University. We did some projects in the past and hopefully we'll do in the future. And Alexander Mehler, it's your turn now.
Thank you very much for the introduction. This is not the first slide, this is the first slide. So what we will do in our talk today is to speak about automatic enrichment of metadata. And what we want to do is to look for two resources of documents in a digital library which can be explored to get data in order to ease the retrieval of those documents. And our starting point is a diagnosis which is well known and has been explained by some of the talks before, that there is an exponential increase of the number of documents which are published via the World Wide Web, but are not only published but also received or processed solely by the World Wide Web. And due to this diagnosis, there are some statements which are quite very important to be stated, namely this rhetorical question of Norbert Losser, who asks, will Google, Yahoo, or Microsoft be the only portals to global knowledge in 2010? And of course, want to say no. So we have to face one problem, namely formulated in a statement by Keller in German, if librarians want to survive, then their services must go beyond Google, much beyond Google. And what our topic today is to speak about some prerequisites of this going beyond Google, what are certain technologies which might be used to serve those additional services in a digital library. Our starting point for doing this is to use text technology. That means that whenever we deal with a document, first of all, we pre-process this document, whatever format this is, might it be HTML, PDF, or Word document. A first step would be, for example, or is actually, that we extract its logical document structure. That means that we identify automatically its title, that we get noticed or the authors, their names and addresses, or that this is an abstract which contains one paragraph, and I now zoom into it and get this sentence, and inside this sentence, I have a clause like this one, for example, and you see how slowly there's an emergence of a structure, of a hierarchical representation, which we call the logical document structure of that input document. We go one step further, we come to the task of lemmatization, and this means that we identify the lexical constituents of this text, And even further, we find out that, for example, this word is ambiguous. It has several meanings. And this means that we need to automatically decide that the meaning of this word game in this text here is related to game theory, but not to biology nor to leisure. Let me just mention that this was one guy, even from the area of digital libraries, Laurent Romary, who's responsible for developing one of those representational formats which are nowadays used to represent the logical document structure, namely the Corpus Encoding Standard. An alternative would be the Text Encoding Initiative, which is also used by us. Another task is that we extract metadata in a more traditional sense, that we speak about creators of the document, the date of publication, or some citation information. Our standpoint now is that this all is, so to speak, a pre-processing step, a pre-processing which is a prerequisite for what is more important, for what we need to do, namely on the topic side of the documents. And here we speak, for example, about topic clustering, labeling, tracking, and also of genre identification. So our starting point for speaking about metadata and digital libraries is to say that there are three resources for exploring such data. One is a closed topic model. Here, for example, we presuppose that there is a fixed set of categories to which documents can be assigned. Think, for example, of the Dewey Decimal Classification, which is fixed in size. Well, of course, we know that in nature, all is evolving in time. So the topic universe of human beings being described by their documents is open. There are ever and ever new topics. So we need also to have a model which can capture this dynamics. And this will be presented in terms of an open topic model. Last but not least, we know that documents are not only similar or related in terms of their content or their topic, but also in terms of their function or their structure. So a genre model could also be a resource of such metadata extraction. Oops. And this will also be in the center of this talk. So this is the structure of the talk. First, we'll speak about the closed topic model by means of the Dewey Decimal Classification. Then we'll speak about the open topic model, and here it will be a social ontology, which will be used to guarantee the openness of the topic universe. After that, I will speak about our genre model for extracting function-related information to documents. And then, fourthly, I will speak about what we have done to integrate our different models in a single information system which can be used by users in terms of some sort of a digital library. Last but not least, I will give some conclusion. Let's start with a closed topic model. What we do here is that we automatically map text onto, for example, the Dewey Decimal Classification. But we do that, and this is somehow specific, by looking only, by exploring only the OAI snippets. That is, if we have, for example, the top-level categories, and then have a document like this one, Search Engine Technology and Digital Libraries, moving from theory to practice, then we look onto this document just in terms of its OAI XML-based representation. And here, more specifically, we concentrate on some of those XML elements, namely the title, the subject, and the description. And only this information is used to build a representation model of the content of our input text. So what we do next, somehow formally explained, is that we use this lexical representation of the input document, rank the topmost important lexical units in it, use them as query terms for search engine, say Google or Yahoo, retrieve by means of that related lexical units and use them to overcome the data sparseness problem. That is, we get, so to speak, a cloud of lexical units being representative for our input document. Next, these clouds can be compared with prototypical representations of documents which before have been assigned to the categories of the Dewey Decimal Classification. And this then allows us to find out the category which best applies. Some results on one of our experiments which we have performed. These are the classes on the left side, as you can see here, where we have the positive numbers of documents which needed to be assigned. And these are the numerical results in terms of precision recall and F measure value, which is just an harmonic mean between precision and recall. Look at this number here. It is about 74% of the documents could correctly be assigned to these types of categories. This is quite a large number. This is also confirmed by a comparative study where we have used latent semantic analysis, which was clearly outperformed by our approach. However, we also applied support vector machines, and they slightly perform better than our approach, but to the cost that they need to be trained. Our model does not need to be trained. This is the difference. So in this moment, we can say that we are quite able to perform some classical approach of text categorization, what we call here a closed topic model. However, I've said before that the topic universe is open, so we need to be able to face this task, and this is now dealt with in terms of our open topic model. We approach here as follows. We start with the idea of a semantic search of text. What is meant by that? Look at the first text. The financial crisis threatens the market of cars and even of toys. Compare it with the second text. Children love cars and other toys. You see, both texts have two words in common, cars and toys. However, the third text, there is a crash of yet another bank, is semantically more related to the first text by means of its content, although they do not share, these two texts, any nouns, any content words. So it is exactly this kind of similarity we are looking for, which is based on the meaning, on the semantics of text. And then, of course, the question is how to compute that. If you look for the literature, there are many, many offers to do that. The most prominent offer is called latent semantic analysis. But actually, I've said, told you before, that in terms of our closed topic model, we have found out that it does not perform very well. So we had to decide to enlarge our approach, to extend it. And this is done as follows. We do that by means of an ontology-based approach. That is, we ask for the similarity of two input texts. This could be done by mapping those two texts onto our ontology. Say that blue stands, for example, for football, and green stands for tennis. So both texts are said to be similar semantically because they are mapped onto related categories. The path in between these two categories is rather short, therefore the semantic similarity. However, we face the problem that we cannot directly map documents onto such categories. We have to do that indirectly by means of prototypes which have been assigned to those categories in advance. And let me just mention now one important point, because when we use ontology, you might think, of course, they are fixed. But this is exactly the point where openness enters our model, because we use the Wikipedia category system as a social ontology. And this ontology, of course, is rapidly evolving in time. Whenever there is a new topic, say Barack Obama, there will be a couple of days or weeks, and then this topic will be dealt with by this category system. But how do we do that actually? How can we use the social ontology of the Wikipedia to perform a semantic search? This is done as follows. Look at this example, Social is Smart. This is a newspaper article of a German newspaper, Die Zeit. Social is smart. Why can human beings better think than apes? A new scientific study shows because they are social beings. We take this text as a starting point, perform an automatic analysis of it. We lemmatize it. We extract the logical document structure. We perform named entity recognition. This all allows us to build a so-called lexeme cloud. This lexeme cloud tells us which words in this text are semantically related by means of their meaning and are important for describing the meaning of the text. We get information, for example, that this text is about humans, study, learning, behavior, abilities, children, study, anthropology, world, thinking, and language. Then we take this lexeme cloud and the next step and map it onto the Wikipedia ontology. For example, we use here as an entry point the category learning. This tells us that it is subcategorized by learning psychology and by language learning, for example. Next, we identify those Wikipedia articles which, because of their content, are most similar to our input text. These are, for example, in this example, the articles entitled Learning, thinking and learning psychology. By means of these articles, we get the categories, which are categorizing in the category system of the Wikipedia, these articles. And therefore, we get the information that the categories like learning of psychology and memory and neurobiology are most relevant, most likely categorizing our input document. The last step is then to use these terms, either the titles of the articles or the categories for our semantic search. And it is this point where we use the Bielefeld Academic Search Engine to perform this kind of semantic search. This is automatically entered, this keyword, learning psychology. This is a semantic search because this term, learning psychology, does not occur in the input text. However, it is semantically related to the topic of that text. Well, here are some results for the evaluation of the system. We have done two parts of an evaluation, one based on the Wikipedia, as I've just demonstrated, and one based on a German encyclopedia. And if we look on the first rows of the tables, we see that we get remarkably high F-measure values. In the majority of cases, we have values which are above 80%, where those categories have been correctly found, which are most likely to describe the input articles. So at this point, we are quite able to implement a closed model, closed topic model, and to implement an open topic model. That is, we can automatically tell what the content of a document is in terms of the Dewey Decimal Classification, and we can also do that in terms of a social ontology. But I've said at the beginning of my talk, of our talk, that documents are also similar, are related to each other in terms of the types they are instantiating. Think, for example, of a PhD in relation to a journal article. Of course, you can decide what a journal article is clearly from looking only on the structure of the document. And of course, this is also a metadata which could be used in a retrieval experiment, which could help to ease retrieval. So this is what we also want to do. And to do that automatically, we, so to speak, as a very good example, we use what human beings do. There was one experiment in the last century which looks as follows. There were texts in which all content words were replaced by nonsense words, as you can see here. These are completely nonsense words. And then these texts with the nonsense words were taken and presented to human beings, and they were asked, what type of text is this? And surprisingly, in many cases, people decide correctly, this, for example, is a death notice. So you might say, well, this is easy, just because you see these numbers here. But we can do it a step harder for our algorithm. And what we present our algorithm, not the human beings, is this picture. So we replace all tokens, and the algorithm does not have any longer any information about lexical units, nor numbers, nor the length of the tokens, but only the length of the sentences in terms of the tokens. And this is what we do, or more formally, we perform quantitative tree analysis. That is, we automatically extract the divisions of a text, the paragraphs, the headers, and the sentences, and the number of tokens per sentence. Then we compute some measures, quantitative measures, for the daughter nodes or the root of the tree, say for this node, for example, in terms of the relation or the subordination and the coordination of nodes in such a subtree. We aggregate the value by means of an entropy and we assign it to the complete tree. We do that for 30 different features. So every text is represented by 30 structural features. The next step is to use this model to automatically map each document onto its representation, onto its vector representation, and then to compare those texts by means of those vector representations. We do that by means of two comparative approaches. The one is our quantitative tree analysis, and the other one is based on a tree kernel used by a support vector machine. Here is the experiment. We used a remarkably large experiment of 31 categories, and the numbers in parentheses are the positive documents to be learned. These are categories which have been taken from a newspaper, and we use a remarkably large set of documents, namely 30,000, to perform our experiment. For example, we have the category a table of contents or chronicle or enterprise news or, for example, university-related articles or dialogues and interviews and the like. These are the article types, and the task was to decide by looking only onto the structure of a document which of these types is this document an instance of. Here are the results in terms of the F measure value. And you see, the values are remarkably high. In many, many cases, above 80% of the documents can be assigned to the type of documents by solely looking onto its structure. If we look on our comparative study, the DOM-TK approach, we see that it performs clearly worse in many cases. And if we aggregate the numbers, we see this picture more clearly. Here we have about 80% correctly assigned documents, here about 60%. The baseline scenario of random clustering is completely outperformed, of course. But you see this number, the green one. This is the best performing approach, a classical support vector machine-based approach based on the vector space model of Salton. It is better than ours. However, one difference. It uses 100,000 different dimensions. Ours only 30. So this is quite better what we do in terms of space complexity. Let me give just one picture of a result. Here is that we now gain structure as a reference point for guessing correctly, more or less correctly, the function, or as we call it, also the genre or document type of a document. What we want to do now is to bring that all together in an application called our Scientific Workplace or eHumanities Desktop. We'll go to the video now to show you this. It started. We log into this system. It's completely web-based. So what you see at the first instance is a system which resembles very like a normal operating system like Vista or so. And we also have those classical tools like an Explorer, for example. We go now to a website, that's site.de, the German newspaper, get an article of it which we want to perform analyze so that we can perform a semantic search. This is an article about the war in the Middle East, the Gaza Strip, and we take this by means of its text representations. We might use also the HTML variant of it, and what we perform as a first instance is that we automatically analyze its logical document structure. This happens all in real time. We make a lemmatization, so we find the document in our Explorer. Next, we use it for a semantic search. This is now done by means of the GermaNet, which is an equivalent to the WordNet. It's a terminological ontology used here, and it helps us to perform our semantic search, and then we get the result for that, and this is now then as an HTML document being represented, and what you see here is slight few seconds is our tag or lexeme cloud. At the first instance, you see that the most important word for the meaning of that text is Israel. And of course, if we scroll down this document, we see that these are the categories from the Wikipedia which are most likely categorizing this document. So Israel military operation or Hezbollah or war in Lebanon in 2006. And the like. And here in the background, we perform, you see on the right side, by means of the base academic search engine for which we have an interface, our semantic search. For example, by using the keywords history and Israel, then we get related documents for this topic. And then we can, of course, retrieve them and go to these documents. The next and final part of this film, which I want to present, is that we perform now a document categorization by means of the Wikipedia. That is, we map an article onto the category system of the Wikipedia also in real time. We get an interview here as a starting point about gene technology and gene research. We take this interview with Craig Venter, copy some text of it, and the next step is to paste it into our tool for the categorizer, perform the categorization, that is, we map it onto the Wikipedia and ask what is the most likely topic of this document. At Wikipedia, the categories tells us biology, natural sciences, medicine and chemistry, genetics, biology, person and 20th century. So go back now to my slides. Doesn't work. I'll come to a conclusion. Well, what we have presented is a closed topic model, by means of which we automatically map documents of the Dewey Decimal Classification, for example. We might use also another classification scheme. I have presented an open topic model by using a social ontology, by example of the Wikipedia category system. And we also have presented a genre model for guessing the text type of a document correctly. Last but not least, we also have built an application into which all these resources are integrated. And future work, of course, will deal with extending this approach. Thank you very much for your attention.
Yeah, thank you very much for this very impressive presentation. Are there any questions for this? Yeah, please take a microphone behind you.
Ja, ich würde in Deutsch fragen, ich interessiere mich für dieses Genre-Model. Wenn ich es richtig verstanden habe, haben Sie 30 verschiedene Genres analysiert. Die würden mich mal ein bisschen näher interessieren im Hinblick auf die Identifizierung von wissenschaftlich oder forschungsrelevanten Texten. Geben die da auch was her? Das war in der Kürze jetzt nicht so zu erkennen. Also kann man damit kategorisieren, ob ein Text wissenschaftlich relevant ist und in welcher Form?
Also in der Tat ist das eine Möglichkeit, wofür man das anwenden kann. Der Grund, weswegen wir hier Zeitungsgenre verwendet haben, war der, dass das schwieriger ist, als wissenschaftsorientierte Genre zu klassifizieren. Die variieren, die sind sehr viel stärker kodifiziert, das ist der eine Aspekt, und sie variieren stärker in ihrer Größe. Das macht eine strukturbasierte Klassifikation bei wissenschaftlichen Sachen leichter. Die Aufgabe, die wir uns gestellt haben, war schwerer, um zu zeigen, wie gut das möglich ist. Die Latte quasi höher gehängt. Insofern kann ich Ihre Frage eindeutig positiv beantworten. Ja, das geht in Richtung Wissenschaftsdokumentklassifikation und in der Tat ist es so, dass wir diesen Maßen Dinge ablesen können, die ansonsten im Bereich von kognitiven Merkmalen wie Güte von Texten liegen oder Eignung für bestimmte Genres. In der Tat.
More questions? Okay. Yeah, please.
Hi. How exactly is the mapping onto the Wikipedia categories being done? I did not really get that. Yeah. Could you explain that? Yeah. Thank you.
Well, there are two possibilities to do that. The one is very simple. You need to have a very, very clear-cut representation model of your input document, say in terms of the most important lexical units inside. If you have a model, like the one I have presented here, what we call this lexeme cloud, then you know by means of this model which are the most important lexical units, and then you can use them in the most simple case as a search query to the Wikipedia. Then you get your articles, then you'd have to go above to come to the most important or most likely categories. This would be the most simple approach. However, it is there are many failures when you apply this, so a better model is that you combine, so to speak, at this point here where you have your mapping from your documents onto the Wikipedia, that you combine here for this mapping a classical latent semantic analysis. You perform, so to speak, a search query in terms of a latent semantic analysis. This can be done. Of course, there are such engines for doing this, and it helps you to overcome the vocabulary spaceness problem.
Okay, one more question, please. This is not the case. Then thank you very much, Dr. Mela. As I said in my introduction, we are really looking forward to do projects with you concerning the Bayes search engine, and we are really looking forward to do semantics with our e-metadata in the future.